This is a Rio Grande Guardian International News Service report on workforce development.
And Mr. Hernandez is also a member of the advisory committee to Chancellor Sharp for the McAllen campus of Texas A&M University and the advisory committee to Lieutenant Governor Patrick on workforce training. Mr. Hernandez was appointed as a member of the Board of Regents by Governor Greg Abbott in 2019. He currently serves as chairman on the Committee on Audit and as a member of the Committee of Academic and Student Affairs. Mr. Hernandez previously served as chairman of the Committee on Audit and as a member of the Committee on Academic and Student Affairs. He also serves as liaison to the Association of Former Students and serves on the Board of Lease and University Lands. And his term expires February 1st, 2025. I got to hear Mr. Hernandez, Regent Hernandez, speak Tuesday in their great announcement, and again, I was very impressed. He's definitely bringing a bold vision to A&M and also to the resources here in the Rio Grande Valley. So please, everybody, welcome our keynote speaker, Regent Hernandez.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I didn't know how many of you would know to do that. But thank you. It's really a true honor for you to have me here today. It's a true honor for me to be here. I was born in Brownsville, born and raised in Brownsville, and I lived there until I was 16 years old. My father worked for Levi Strauss, and at the time when I was, like I said, 16, he got a job at offer in Dallas. I have the Dallas-Fort Worth territory, and so he decided to leave. That was quite a culture shock for me and my family, and it took us a while to adjust because all of our family was still here in the valley. We were used to the Mexican-American culture, and Arlington, Texas, back in 1976, there weren't too many Hispanics there. And so, much like West Buffalo is located in the middle of the Rio Grande Valley, we moved to Arlington, which is located in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth. And there are a lot of benefits for that, and that specifically was the reason that my father moved us there, so he could be centrally located, he could do business in Dallas and Fort Worth. And I kind of view West Buffalo in the same way. As was mentioned earlier, Texas A&M has a big project going on at the Port of Brownsville. What we're building there is a huge workforce training center where we can offer workforce training for advanced manufacturing and other skills that are needed for the industries that are going to be at the Port. But beyond that, we also have an area to do R&D, research and development and innovation for the companies that are coming into the Port. And why is that important with West Buffalo, what's going on at the Port of Brownsville, I can tell you, is that there are certain types of industries that can only go into a deep water port. Things like a steel mill, things like rubber manufacturers, what we call tier one manufacturing. Tier two manufacturing are the component people. They take the steel, they take the plastic or whatever it is, and they make it into stuff. That is what I see the future of the mid and upper valley is basically getting into the advanced manufacturing business. Before, it was all about maquilas and people utilizing cheap labor on the other side of the border to assemble things, put them together. Well, what's happened is that because of security costs and other insecurities of basically being in another country and dealing with another country's legal system, American companies have been, and European companies have been hesitant and have been having some issues. The thing is that the future of manufacturing and really most businesses, that and it will apply to many of you here, is that things are going to be made by robots in the future, not by humans. Humans aren't going to be putting stuff together. So what's going to be most important are having people that can work on these robots when they go down, because if a robot goes down for a company, we're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars in losses every minute that robot is down. And so the reason I'm saying all of this is because the Valley for the last 50 years has been, for lack of a better way of saying it, nothing more than a truck stop. Where goods are coming in, the trucks will stop here, fill up for gas, buy a hot dog, and off they go. Same thing at the port. Goods come in, ships are unloaded, they load them back again, and they're on. Mine and many other people's vision for the future of the Valley is that, for example, avocados come in, but guacamole goes out, right? We get the raw materials to come in here, and we don't just fill up the truck and pass it on their way. We use those materials to make sense. And the reason that it makes sense, obviously, the geographic location of the Valley. We are the basically the funnel between South America and North America. And because of the instability and China has reshored, a lot of the manufacturing has been reshored from China because of issues that we had, especially that was exposed during COVID. A lot of that was going to Mexico. Now they're having issues. Now they're looking for other opportunities. This is the place to go. And it geographically, it makes sense. The opportunities are here. And that's the kind of the main thing that I want to talk about is opportunity. You see, being an opportunist is not a bad one, especially when you're in business. An opportunist is somebody who sees an opportunity, sees a need, and determines, one, is it legal to address this need? Is it ethical? Are we going to be doing anything wrong to anyone else by doing so? And if so, can we meet this need and profit and make money doing it? That's what an opportunist is. That's what a good businessman is. So what we have is a tremendous opportunity here in the Valley. Because of the things that I mentioned, because of the reshoring that's going on, because other ports, for example, are at full capacity in the state of Texas. By default, we have to get some companies to come into the port of Brownsville because there are no other ports. So that, combined with the, like I said, the reshoring and the instability in Mexico, sets it up so that basically this is the place to go as long as we have a few things in place. Okay. First of all, we have to have a trained workforce. We can have all the incentives in the world. I know we have a lot of EDC people here. We can offer money. The state of Texas offers a lot of incentives. That's not the issue. We're good there. The main thing that companies want to see when they come into a new area is, do you have a trained workforce? That's why Texas A&M is here. When I say Texas A&M, I mean the Texas A&M system. I don't necessarily mean the university, although we do obviously have a campus in McAllen. What's going on in Brownsville isn't the university. That is two of the state agencies for the A&M system. TEEX, which is, they focus primarily on workforce training, working together, partnering with STC, with TSTC, with TSC, and making sure that we're meeting the workforce training needs that the employers ask for. Next, they need that R&D component. Companies are going to need Texas A&M to do research on their materials. If they need to improve, they need to come up with a solution for this particular business problem. That's what Texas A&M is there for. That's what we have for innovation and research as well. That's TEES. That's a separate agency of Texas A&M, TEES. And they're all about research and development and innovation. So working together with our partners in the education space, including UTRGV on the research side and development side, we can, one, provide the trained workforce that the employers need, and two, provide them with the backup for research and development to advance their companies. That you don't find that very often, and when you do, you know, there's very few places that have those together and are being offered. Brownsville and the Valley, McAllen and Westlake too. You guys have access to that. And that can be a tremendous magnet to draw in industry to come here and to set up shop. And that is basically the focus that we have going on now. Of course, A&M focuses not only on engineering, but we also focus a lot on agriculture, right? A&M. And the last one is medical. We're very involved on the medical side, both veterinary and human health. So the Rio Grande Valley is ripe with business opportunities. And it hasn't been this way for 40 or 50 years, I'll admit. But basically, times have changed, and the stars have lined up, and Rio Grande Valley happens to be right in the perfect situation. And so I hope that everyone here, and I'm sure that's why we're here, is to discuss and to look at all the opportunities available going forward in economic development, because I think Westco is perfectly situated to benefit greatly from all of this. So, and Texas A&M is here to support it. Last Tuesday, Governor Abbott presided over that groundbreaking of a $30 million plus advanced manufacturing hub at the Port of Brownsville. Again, it was designed to bring the necessary advanced manufacturing workforce training opportunities and R&D capabilities to make us competitive and make us as competitive as any other region in the state of Texas. And there's no reason to have any fear. Can we do this? Can we not do this? Because you can. You have all the benefits, all the ingredients. The Valley has the fastest growing population of 18 to 25-year-olds anywhere in the country. And if you give those kids a phone, they can do anything with it. So we know they have the aptitude. We know this culture is a culture, a working culture, a culture, an entrepreneurial type culture. And so as long as we bring in the assets of the university system like Texas A&M in coordination with the ISDs as well as the community colleges, you basically have everything you need. You really do. And so it's just a matter of happening, and you happen to be on the ground floor of it. So I encourage everyone to look at all the opportunities available and how this boom is starting to take place will benefit your individual businesses. And Texas A&M is here to help in any way that we can. So again, I want to just thank everyone for having me here today. I think they said if you want to ask questions, I don't know what I can answer, but I'll be happy to try. But again, thank you very much for coming out today and taking the time to listen to me. Are there any questions about anything having to do with maybe Texas A&M? I'm in the car business. I guess I could answer some car questions or something. Don't be shy. Anybody in the manufacturing business?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think that we're working with some of the ISDs. I'm not sure where your child goes to school, but we're working with some of the ISDs where starting in eighth grade, they start taking robotics kind of classes, just basics. Because I'll relate it again to the car business. Ford makes cars, right? They manufacture, they do all that kind of stuff. But if the car breaks down, Ford's not going to fix it. We need a technician to fix it. It used to be all they had to do was know how to engine run, turn wrenches, and that type of thing. Now you need diagnostic equipment, you have to be able to program, and that's an example of what I'm talking about, that skill set where you need IT skills, you need to be able, like I said, to work with your hands and turn a wrench and fix stuff, but you don't necessarily need to be good in English or literature or history, or you know what I'm saying? And so the way the pathways here in the Valley have developed over the last 5 to 10 years, we have these pathways that start at eighth grade, for example. make you a graduate. With a diploma, you also graduate with a certificate. And that certificate can be used as credit to go to, like, let's say, STC. And you can advance towards an associate's degree, let's say, as an engineering technician. Because for every engineer that UTRGV or A&M puts out, we need 5 or 6 engineering technicians who are going to work on those robots that these engineers are designing and the products that they are designing these robots to be. And so, and we're talking about pretty high-paying jobs. These aren't, your standard labor. I call them silver-collar jobs. They're not blue-collar jobs, you know, where it's all just with your hands. It's not, you know, a white-collar job, where it's all here. It's literally in between, and needed both skill sets. And so, and for that, you're going to have to pay. You know, companies are going to have to pay a premium wage, but the savings come because robots are making all the stuff, and you don't have to pay a bunch of people. So it's that's what the future is. Like I said, the valley's perfectly lined up, and the ISDs are working on it. And I hope if that isn't going on in your school, your son's ISD that you talked to me about. Anybody else have? Yes, ma'am.
My question is along the lines of
It's more my fault than yours.
Okay, can you?
Yes.
Okay. My question is along the lines of what Olivia just asked. And I may ruffle some feathers because I, even though I am a professor at UTRGV, I grew up in the trades and was raised by a blue collar, my grandfather was blue collar. This room, okay, this room,
I think you have to turn it on.
There we go. So much fun. Okay, fantastic. Okay, this room is filled with like-minded and open-minded individuals. How do we What do we say to people outside of this room who believe that the only path to success is through a higher education degree? Because from what we've heard this morning, many of these successful people come from a background, from a foundation built on blue-collar education. So how do we embrace a changed mindset, and what do we tell other people to communicate that it's okay to be a silver collar employee?
Well, I think just that. I think that the push years ago, and I would say 30 years ago, 40 years ago, was that everyone needed to go to college, and if you weren't, didn't have an opportunity to go to college, that you were somehow shorted in life. And so there were well-intentioned efforts to try to make sure that college was available to everyone. What happened was that either everyone went to high school and didn't go to college, or they went to college and they didn't do anything in between. They didn't get the certificates, they didn't go to the community colleges. And a bunch of people with degrees came out and couldn't find a job because they didn't have the skills specific to what the industries were looking for. That is what we're trying to do. And it is, you're right, it's difficult for a university to acknowledge that and to say we need to address it. It's almost like below the university. And that's okay, because what we need the universities mainly for, in my opinion, are to teach and do R&D. That's the most important thing. And the community colleges, I think it's very important that they step up to the plate and take on this challenge, and that the universities work with them, especially ones that have a system like this, work with them to develop those skills and not look at it as it being below us now. It's too important. And especially as technical as it is right now,
they're going to need some assistance, I think, in certain parts from the university. So I think we've all kind of come out from under the ether on that and realized, wait a minute, we may have gone a little too far with this. And so now there's a big push. I think across the country, I was listening to something, this Joe Rowe or somebody. Anyway, his big thing is trades, and they were talking about how more and more that's becoming more of a focus for states all over the country. So, thanks for the question. Yes, ma'am.
My question.
He can go on. Okay.
My question is basically what you started talking about as far as the ports, the manufacturing jobs.
Yes, ma'am.
30 years ago, we used to have several companies like Hagers, Levi's, Carter's, and we know for a fact that they all went south, right? Of course, cheaper labor and what have you. With the issues being that they're having now, bringing those goods down over here, do you see an opportunity for the Valley to again open manufacturing companies?
Very much so. Very much so, but not for the reasons that the companies were here before. They were here for the cheap labor, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Cheap labor, low skill. We're not. That's not how we're approaching. We're higher skill on this side of the border. The cheaper labor can be on the other side. The companies want to use the efficiency, the cost efficiency of robots producing things rather than people producing things. Right? I mean, that's the future. Robots are much more efficient. You don't have employee problems with robots. You know, there's a lot of advantages to robots. The downside is, and I think AI, artificial intelligence, that's coming into play as well. But at the end of the day, just like your car, if it breaks down, there has to be somebody who knows how to fix it. And that's what we're talking about today. We're going to focus on making sure that we know how to make cars, and we have all the people that can do that, but we also have people that can fix it, which is just as important and deserve to be paid for. So I think my time is out. I appreciate the questions. And thank you for having me.